For our scripture reading today, it's about the call of the disciples to follow Jesus. I'd sort of be like y'all to stand up and sort of follow Jill around the room. No? Then we'll just read. From the first chapter, beginning with the 14th verse, hear the word of God. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning I would like to remind you that there was a time before email. Many of us are so used to the convenience of instant communication that it's hard to believe we used to get by without it. And it's also hard to believe that there was a time when email was so new that you could make a movie called You've Got Mail, and people would actually go to see it. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, it's 15 years ago, there was a movie like that about a couple whose courtship began online in the computer world. Of course, now I've done like a dozen weddings of people who met online, so that's nothing new. But then it was You've Got Mail, featured the somewhat adorable Tom Hanks, the undeniably lovely Meg Ryan, as the seemingly unsuited, but of course destined for one another couple. Tom and Meg meet over the internet, and their online friendship turns into something of an email courtship. The problem, you knew there was a problem, didn't you? The problem is that Tom is the wealthy owner of a huge bookstore chain, and their latest superstore is located just around the corner from Meg's cute little children's bookstore. Of course, Meg and Tom stay anonymous until the very last scene of the movie, to the extent that she never tells him anything more than her small business is in danger. And so in their public interactions where they've met, Tom is the thorn in Meg's side because he's trying to shut down her business. But in the electronic world, with their messages going back and forth over the computer, Tom becomes Meg's unknowing advisor in her battle against big business. And Tom's major advice is this: fight hard. Fight hard and remember, it's not personal, it's business. It's not personal, it's business, Meg tells herself as she mounts a public relations offensive against this huge superstore. And she does fight hard, but her little bookstore can't survive. Can't survive. And so Meg goes out of business. And Tom's path continues to cross Meg's path. And soon he repeats his favorite line in person to her instead of on email this time, face to face. "Hey, it's not personal, it's business," Tom says. But Meg will have none of that. She counters, "When you say it's not personal, it's business, what you mean is that it's business to you, but it was personal to me. How can you say it's not personal?" And then she says something I think is worth remembering. "Whatever else life is, shouldn't it be personal?" I think that's a great line. Whatever else life is, shouldn't it be personal? And being a preacher, my next thought is, whatever else the good news of the gospel is, shouldn't it be personal? I mean, it was always personal with Jesus. With Jesus, wherever, whatever else life was, it was personal. Whatever, with Jesus, whatever else the good news was, the gospel was personal. And shouldn't the gospel be personal? I mean, Jesus made it personal. Jesus spoke to people. He reached out, touched people. You know, love as a general feeling is fine. But Miss America love is easy. You know, Miss America love. My dream is that all the world should live in harmony. Yeah. We all know that love only makes a difference when it gets specific, when it gets particular, when it gets personal. Jesus made love a personal thing. The gospel is full of stories in which Jesus makes the gospel personal. Remember the man born blind, who Jesus heals by restoring his sight, and a second time he helps him to really see, this time with the eyes of the heart. Remember the Samaritan woman who comes to the well for water that she needs to survive this day, she needs to survive her worn and tattered life. And she leaves with water in her jug, surely, but with a living water that makes her feel alive again. Remember the tax collector, Zacchaeus, who's called a liar and a cheat by everybody who knows him. Yet somehow, he's seen by Jesus as something more, as a man who just maybe could be redeemed. And sure enough, he was. Jesus made it personal. He spoke to people. He touched people. He listened to people. He understood them. And he still does. He still does. Remember when your heart had been broken and you thought that you could never love again? Jesus made the good news of the gospel personal then, with the healing of the heart. Remember when you felt trapped by a past you could not change, unable to find a way into any kind of a future worth living? And Jesus made the good news personal then, with a clean slate, a new start, a new heart. Remember when life was caving in around you and you did not know where the strength to go on would come from? Well, it was personal then too, wasn't it? When the strength came from somewhere, from someone beyond yourself. Sometimes Jesus makes it too personal. When Jesus says that how you spend your money actually says something important about what your priorities in life are, what really matters to you, when he says that, that's personal. When he says how well you listen to your wife says something about how much you value her as a person, that's personal. When Jesus looks out on a world in which too many people are hungry for food and for the human touch, and then says, to those to whom much has been given, from them much will be required. That's personal. And when Jesus looks at nations in the midst of warring times and reminds us that those are God's children that we're aiming at on the other side, that's personal too. But even then, like the bad tasting medicine that can make us well, what Jesus so very personally prescribes can make us whole, can make us human. Well, from the start, Jesus made the gospel personal. He called his disciples by name. Peter, Andrew, James, John. He still does. Sarah, Anthony, William, Cindy. He called you by name in your baptism. He calls you by name still, in specific moments and in particular times in which Jesus needs his good news made personal to someone else. You see, the good news of which the angels sang at Christmas, the good news which today's scripture tells us was preached throughout Galilee, the good news that Jesus took with him everywhere he went, still needs to be made personal today. And you are the ones you are the ones Jesus is asking to do just that. Because you are the one who's there in the office cubicle, or in the neighbor's kitchen, or in the school lunchroom when someone's life has come unglued. You are the one who can quietly tell a troubled soul of the strength that you have found in your faith and in your prayers. You are the one who's there when your wife needs someone not to fix it, not to solve the problem, but just to listen. You're the one who's there to see that the food pantry is staffed on next Saturday morning, and you're the one who's there to see that the PADS shelter is open and to care for those who have nothing. And you're the one who can pray for servicemen and women far from home. You're the one who can pray for the person next to you in the pew, or the one you'll be talking to in a few minutes out there at the fellowship hour who you know need your prayers. All because that's what Jesus asks us to do, to make it personal. Whatever else life is, shouldn't it be personal? Whatever else the gospel is, shouldn't it be personal? Whatever else love is, shouldn't it be personal? God is calling you, my friends. Sometimes it's easy to tell what God is asking you to do. Sometimes it's not. But you can be sure God is calling you. And I hope you take that personally. Pray with me. Lord, let us hear with the ears of the heart, when you call us by name, and when you ask us to make your love personal, for someone else's sake, for Christ's sake, and also for our own sakes. Amen.